Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
Message called Strongholds. And the three areas that I've chosen to address, and we're only on number one, is cultural and family allegiances. And the reason I believe the Holy Spirit directed me to talk about this is because these are some of the things that prevent us from being what God has called us to be. Our family ties stop us in many cases from moving into spiritual things. Are you with me here? Well, what do I mean by that? Well, most of the problems we've had in our lives come out of our families. Amen? I mean, I know some of times after we leave the home, we create our own problems. But a lot of them begin in the home. Now, the reality is that all of us are born sinners that need a Savior. All right? I mean, that's the point at which everyone starts. And if you don't have a family that has come out of darkness into the light, then you still are operating on a fallen principle of life. Are you with me here? So many of us have created a foundation for our life that is based on the deception of the flesh, the weakness of the flesh, the weakness of the sinful nature. And the sinful nature does not address our problems, but it builds things around our problems so that we never have to see our problems. Are you with me here? That's what we do when we don't know the Lord. And think about it. If you had, just think a little thing. Like, I remember when I had a girlfriend that rejected me. I mean, how many guys had that happen? At least, you know, most of us didn't marry the first woman we came across, but some of us did, but I did not. And I remember, the one I remember most, and was just, it's always in my mind, I was like 11 or 12, and, you know, I had three older sisters. And when you have three older sisters, they have very good-looking friends. And there was this one friend of my oldest sister who was, technically, she's 4 years older than me, so this girl's already too old. I mean, I'm 11, she's 15. Come on, there's no chance with that anyway, right? I mean, you know what I mean? Come on, I had no chance from the jump street. But I just had such a crush on this girl, and I was just beside myself, and she even kissed me one time, and that, you know, that even made it even worse. But then she told me that I was too young. Now imagine that. 15 and 11, she told me I was too young. And I just, you know, and I showed how mature I was by just starting to cry. I just started crying. I'm telling you, too young. I can't be too young for you. I'm crying. But what happened as a result of that relationship, or that rejection, is that I created an operation plan for relationships in my mind. Are you with me here? And that's what happens when things go wrong in our lives. We have now created an operation manual on how to deal with it when it comes up again. Not run by the Holy Spirit, because I didn't know God. I knew what I wanted, and that was to protect me from ever having to have that happen to me again. And the operation plan was don't give yourself like that to anybody unless you know they're going to return it first. That was the operation plan. So don't commit to anything until they commit first. And that's not a good plan. But see, that's what we have done. And then from that relationship, you go to another one, and then you create a new plan. You amend. This is an amendment to plan one. Remember never to do this again. And then you go on, and you create all these plans to protect yourself. None of them have anything to do with the Holy Spirit. They're all about you and your protection. You might say, well, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that is you don't know how to protect you. Amen? You don't have enough information to protect you. All you have is the experience that you went through. And then from that manual, you create a stronghold. And we told you what a stronghold meant, right? What is a stronghold? A stronghold is an encampment where pain, where the enemy, where all your frustrations live, and you don't want to go there because you don't want to touch it. It could be where angers jump out. And these things come out of your family and your relationship. The culture, the reason I chose culture is because culture plays such a large role. If you're not spiritual, you're cultural. What do I mean by that? In other words, if you don't know Jesus, you have a belief mechanism that is created by the people that you have grown up around you. Brother Tamron, and I want to say Tamron, he did a great job last night. He preached a message about vision, gifting. What was the other one? Oh, there's four. Purpose, vision, purpose, gifting, and one more. Can't remember the four. So I got the notes here. But anyway, he was talking about, and the one to reference is that people have a philosophy of life not based on the Word of God. We have a worldview that is not biblically based. And so we do things based upon our worldview. He mentioned something about an atheist who was concerned about, I think it was the Black Lives Matter thing. If you're a true atheist, black lives don't matter. No lives matter because you're all going to die anyway. There is no purpose. If you're an atheist, you don't believe in purpose. You believe that everything is here by chance, and we're just all going to go off into nothing, so it doesn't really matter what you do. It's just the way it is. That's true atheism. Now, most people really aren't atheists. They just like that word because they don't want to believe in Jesus Christ. But they're not true atheists because true atheists don't care about you, don't like you, and don't care what happens to you. You might say, well, how come there's moral atheists? Because they're trying to create their own worldview apart from what the scriptures teach. That's really always the case, church. People always want to find a way to get to heaven, but they just don't want to go the way God told you to get there. It's like the GPS. The GPS tells you, go left. I know my way. I don't need them to tell me to go left. And then you go right and you find out that street's been closed. But sometimes it's the other way around. The GPS tells you to go left and you go left and the street's not open anymore. I was driving to Jefferson County. You guys know where Jefferson County, Washington is? Port Townsend over off on the coast. So I was driving to Jefferson County, which is already going to be a two-hour drive. Had to go to court over there. And my GPS always starts flashing red. It says, alternate route suggested. Get off the freeway, turn around because there's construction going on. So I say, oh, okay, well, I'm going to listen to the GPS because I don't know that area. So I can't say, oh, I just get off the freeway, go around, and then get back on. I don't know that. So I get off the freeway, go back the other direction, and it takes me down this other freeway. And then I'm driving about 20 minutes, and I look, you know, your GPS tells you expected time of arrival. You know, you get that on there too? It's like hour and a half more than I thought it was going to be. I said, whoa, wait a minute. I should have looked at that before I turned it on. But it was too late. I didn't know how to go back, and I didn't know how to figure out how to get around the detours. And that's what happens with people's lives. We don't want to take God's instruction on how to get somewhere. We just want to come up with our own plans. And if it doesn't work, well, nobody's perfect. That's what they like to say. Well, none of us are perfect. But see, Jesus died so that a lot of your imperfections can be covered over. Not just covered over, done away with. He died to make you new. He died so that you can follow his direction. And so in order to do that, a lot of times we've got to leave off the things that we have built our lives on all our lives. Depending on when you accepted Christ, I got saved when I was about, I think just before my 19th birthday. So I was about 18 and a week before, like just like now. I got saved around this time. My birthday is next Sunday or next Saturday. I got saved around the week before my 19th birthday. But I had already built a philosophy of life just in the 18 years that I had been alive. And a strong one because I was a strong-willed person. I'll just put it that way. How's that sound? That sounds nice, doesn't it? I was stubborn, I was proud, and I was arrogant. That's what that was. So I had created this philosophy of life. And I didn't know that I had to surrender that philosophy of life to the Holy Spirit for him to learn to direct my life. And so this is why I'm taking the time to go through this, because many of us have built this philosophy of life and have not allowed the Holy Spirit to fix it, so that we're not following our own path, but we're following his path. Amen? All right. So the first thing we talked about food, we talked about clothing, we talked about music and entertainment, we talked about language and mostly the detrimental language of life, we talked about education. And the thing about education is not that I'm saying we don't need to be educated, but what passes for education today is more indoctrination. They're trying to teach you a philosophy of life contrary to what the scriptures teach. They're teaching you that you have evolved from a lower form. They're teaching you that men and animals are brothers. That's why you have movements like PETA. You guys know what PETA is? The ethical treatment of animals? Because they believe that they are your brothers and your sisters. And again, let me say this. I'm not a vegan, so I eat meat. Okay? Let's just lay that out. I eat steak, chicken, everything they put. Every meal I gotta have some meat. My wife used to say, man, you got to have meat every meal? I said, every time we sit down, I need to see some meat. So I eat meat. But I do believe that you should be kind to animals. You should not beat your dogs. You should not beat your cats. You should not do those kinds of things. And if you have goats, chickens, and all the other things, you shouldn't abuse those. But they're not equal to people. The Bible says they're not. You say the Bible says that? Yeah, he says, let's just go to it real quickly. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. This is just extra. And it says here, 25. It said, therefore I say to you, don't worry about life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor about your body, what you shall wear, put on. No, that's not where I'm going here. Let's go down to 26. Oh, yeah, okay, thank you. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. In other words, they don't save anything. Whenever you see the barns, things like that, barns were a method of savings, okay? That's just all it is, a barn. You had a barn so you could save crops, and that was their way of keeping themselves alive. But he says they don't have barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them, all right? He says, are you not more value than they? Let's read that again together. Are you not more value than they? Let's try it again. Are you not of more value than they? Now, who's the they? The birds. The they are the birds. So you're more important than chickens. You can eat chickens. You're more important to the spotted owl. Spotted owl should not make you unemployed. If your tree is the spotted owl's habitat, birds are not stupid. If you cut their tree down, they'll go find another tree to build a nest in. I got woodpeckers. How many got woodpeckers in their neighborhood? And, you know, the woodpeckers, we didn't have woodpeckers over here, but when we moved into Renton, I heard this drilling noise. I thought it was a jackhammer, and it was a woodpecker on my roof. And they were, and I'm thinking to myself, all the trees in my backyard, and they want to peck holes in my house? So I had to go buy a BB gun. Because the bird, I said, Lord, and I prayed this. I said, Lord, direct the birds to the trees, or they're not going to live. They don't. And they're surely not living in my house. And one had actually burrowed a hole about this big in my siding. Now, I'm not a fix-it guy, right, Pastor? But I had to climb up on the ladder, find some wood filler, fill the hole, sand it down, and do all the stuff. I had to let it dry, and then I had to go up there and paint it. And I said, see, woodpeckers ought not to make me work this hard. So after that, and then I learned to spot their call before they started to drill. So as soon as I heard, I would be in the prayer room or whatever, but as soon as I heard a woodpecker, I'd go grab the BB gun. Now, I never shot a woodpecker, unfortunately. Well, maybe some of y'all say, well, fortunately, he didn't kill him. No, I never did, but they don't come to my house no more. Because I think they figured we can go to somebody else's house and they don't got BB guns. So they have not continued to try to drill on my house. So animals are important, but they're lower on the chain than humans are. Let's say that. Animals are important. Come on, let's say it like we mean it. Animals are important, but they're lower on the chain than humans are. And that means even if you love your dog is not a person. Right? Your dog is not a person. He's not a human. He doesn't have the same capacity to know God like we do. That's why they're less than we are. They don't have that the animals were not created in the image of God. I mean, God did not say that about animals. He said, and Adam and Eve he made in his image. Male and female, he created them. Female and male, he created them in his image. We are the only image bearers on the earth. Everything else were given unto us to use for the benefit of our call to God. But like I said, that doesn't mean you're cruel. But what I'm getting at is the philosophy that humans are not important anymore. We're just animals. Now, let me tell you why that philosophy is so important. If you're just an animal, you don't have a spirit. So you don't need to be born again. And you don't sin. Because animals kill each other, but they don't come to the altar after killing the antelope. The lions are, oh, Lord Jesus, forgive me. I killed Joe antelope yesterday. I was hungry and I couldn't control it. Animals don't do that. But humans are not allowed to kill other humans. The scripture specifically says that. If a man sheds the blood of a man, then that man must be put to death. That's the penalty for murder. Because, and God says, because man is made in my image. So God looks at us as higher, but what I'm saying is education or the system of education tries to degrade people. And that's something that we have to be very careful. And that's why young people, you know, we're already as young people subject to fleshly passions. You guys all know what I mean, right? When you're young, you want to do stupid things. And that's because that's your flesh telling you to do stupid things. Only young people jump off roofs. I did it. I was on my neighbor's house. We were trying to smoke cigarettes. So we climbed up on his roof so nobody would see us. You know, they may smell the smoke, but they look around and nobody, you can't see us because we're on the roof. And after we finished, we had to get down because we didn't want to go back to the house because you what now smell like what? Huh? So we had to go the other way. So my friend jumped. And we were like 10, 11, 12. And I'm thinking, I don't want to jump. But you know what happened? As I was doing this, I fell. I happened to be sitting like this, so I fell foot first. But if I hadn't been, I could have fallen head first. Only young people do stuff like that. Only young people try things that are not good for them. Their parents tell them, don't do this. Look, I've tried it. It's not good for you. My dad don't know what he's talking about. My mom don't know what they're talking about. They don't know. They ain't never been young before. How do you think they got old? I mean, everybody's been young before. But we don't believe them. So we want to try it. And see, so when you have a philosophy created on the basis that humans are not anything more than animals, then there's no wonder why young people treat young people so harshly. There's no wonder that people devalue one another. You can shoot somebody in the streets because they don't have the same color as you do. I remember when I was actually working for Atlantic Street Center and I was on fire for the Lord. And so I was, part of my work was to work with some of the gang groups that were coming into Seattle at that time. This was back in that late, early 90s. And I was talking to this guy that was a blood. And I was talking to him about him not liking Crips, which were the blue group. And I said, help me to understand the animosity you have with this person. So he started to explain it. And it was all about a color. Because they wore blue and we wore red. And I'm thinking, so you mean to tell me you're willing to kill somebody because they have a different color than you? And it got quiet. I said, do you see how stupid that sounds? I mean, she's got yellow, I've got brown. I don't like you because you got yellow. So I'm going to shoot you if you come into my neighborhood. Now, how stupid is that? But if you have a philosophy that tells you you are nothing more than an animal, then animals what? Kill each other. Animals kill each other. If a lion gets a person by themselves, no matter how cute you think he is, he will kill you and not have any remorse about it. He says, that human tastes pretty good. I wonder where the next one is coming. That's what the lion says. He doesn't say, oh, I killed my master. Oh, please forgive me, Lord. Please forgive me. That's why you're not supposed to own. That's why it's illegal to own wild animals. You know that? You can't own lions. You can't own tigers. Because there is an instinct in them that if you push the wrong button, they will kill you. You know, you see these guys raising bears. You know, the guy that raised bears. I mean, bears, 9-10 feet tall. I remember seeing, I was like, his bear is hugging him. And later on, one of the bears killed him. Because they cannot, their nature cannot be changed. They are killers because that's how they survive. Are you with me here? That's the philosophy that we have to be careful that our kids don't learn. And there's so many other things, the promiscuity of sexual relationships. You know, they taught us in, there were, you know, first we just had sex ed. Remember that? That was a big to-do. Oh, we got to have sex ed in the schools. You got to teach these kids to stay away from sex. Now it's, well, we're going to give them condoms because they're going to do it anyway. That is not a philosophy that most parents adopt. But because it's been perpetrated by the school, some parents are starting to adopt it. Well, just give them a condom. At least they won't have kids. Look, condoms don't save you, folk. Some condoms break, they pop, they don't work. I know I'm talking straight talk here, but let's be honest. The only thing that works 100%, anybody know? Abstinence. I guarantee you'll never get pregnant if you abstain from sexual intercourse. You will never have a venereal disease and you won't get pregnant. That's the only 100% method. But that's too religious. Did you know that that message was religious? That's what they say. So they can't teach abstinence. Did you guys know that they said that in the school? See, we don't, because they're doing whatever they want to do and they ain't telling you nothing. But they said the abstinent message is religiously based, therefore we will not teach it. Even though it's the best, they're not going to teach it.
We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197. To let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon.
So that's why I'm saying, yes, our kids need to read, write, add, subtract, multiply, and divide. And some of them ain't getting that in school. So you gotta teach it too at home. You gotta teach your kids. Make sure they learn how to read. We should not allow our children to be in sixth grade and not be able to read. Teach your kids, even if the school's not doing it. Teach them. You might say, I don't know how to teach them. Look, online, you can do anything. You can find any beginner book and you can do it yourself. Right, Marquise? So you have to be responsible. Don't allow the philosophies of people govern and mold and shape the mindset and the worldview of your children so that when they leave, they don't even like you because you believe in Jesus. You're an antiquated, ancient, what's they say all about us? Uneducated, rigid, closed-minded, all those things you are because you believe that Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. But we're narrow-minded. Well, no, we're not, because we didn't write the book. All we do is read what it says. He says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. I didn't write that. I wasn't around when he wrote it. I just jumped into this thing only 30, 40 years ago, and I found that that was in the Bible before I was alive. So I didn't invent this thing. God said that. And if God said something, you better pay attention to it. And don't think you can find a key to the back door, because there is no back door. There's only one door. Jesus said this too. I am the door. So if you're going to get to heaven, you got to come through the door. But that's why it's so important to understand what we are being taught. And so anyway, going to the next step. And I'm about to go quickly because I've spent a long commercial on that. Is rituals. Rituals are, you got that up there? I think it's up there. Rituals are actions with intentional symbolic meaning undertaken for a specific cultural purpose, such as a rite of passage from childhood to adulthood, and may reinforce broader community social bonds, such as a wedding. Wedding is a ritual of humans. But rituals, we have to be careful, because rituals spill into religious services as well. And some of the rituals that the scriptures talk about, or some of the things that we do at, let's just say at weddings, a lot of people do what's called a fertility blessing. Anybody ever have that? You guys know what fertility means, right? Fertility means you want the couple to have children. And so sometimes there are rituals that you go through to assure that families have children. Some of them are fancy. I mean, there's dancing, there's all these things centered in a cultural setting. But the scripture is clear about that. It says in Genesis 1:27, it says what? What's Genesis 1:27? After he created Adam and Eve, he said what? Be fruitful and multiply. So if you want to bless somebody, you don't need to dance. And again, I'm not going to denigrate the dance unless it's demonic. Because some of these things have their roots in demonic activity. That's another reason why we have to ask ourselves about our cultural connections. Because they are not biblically based, some of them have strong demonic connotations. You guys know what I mean by demonic, right? They're inspired by Satan and evil and demonic spirits. You might say, well, why would a fertility dance be inspired by the enemy? Anybody want to answer that question? Because the devil also deals in fertility. If you don't believe me, go to the tarot, or the psychic, and they will pray that you have a kid. Right? And if you go back far enough, if you go to Native American religions or some of the traditional religions of a nation, the shaman or the witch doctor will pray over you so you can have children. Am I right? Is this news to anybody? So if the enemy will do that, why is he interested in doing that? Because remember, Satan wants one thing, and that is worship. Worship. And when he is the source of your blessing, you will give him worship. You will acclaim him as the provider for the need that you asked him to provide. You might say, well, I never asked the devil, I asked the psychic. Same thing. Because the Bible says no man comes to the Father except through Jesus. So if they're asking for a blessing and they don't use Jesus' name, they're trying to get to the Father by another way, which is not allowed. So now they've crossed over to the dark side, and the enemy takes the form of God and answers your prayer. So now, I know this is deep because most people don't want to talk about stuff like this. But this is what I mean by getting untangled from the things that we have tangled ourselves up with. If you want people to have children, the scripture says, bless them, be fruitful, and multiply. Bless them, say, Lord, I bless this couple. Your word says to be fruitful and multiply. So, Lord, I pronounce that blessing on them. That's all you got to do. If you want to shout and dance after that, that's fine. But make sure that it's based on the scripture. And see, this is the whole point I'm trying to get to. I know I'm doing it in a roundabout way. But everything we think, believe, do, and say should be based in scripture. And if it's not in the book, we don't want it. You might say, that's narrow-minded. Absolutely it is. I'm not going to deny it. But it's not my road. He said, enter in the narrow road. Isn't that what Jesus said? Try to get on the narrow road. Oh, wait a minute. You're narrow-minded. Then I must be on the right road. You ever think of it that way? He said, because he says, broad is the way. Isn't that funny that we have a Broadway in every city? It's a street called Broadway. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be that enter that, try to enter that way. But enter the narrow road. One of the problems that the children of Israel had was they were excluded, they felt, from some of the things that others were able to do. That's why they wanted a king. Everybody else got a king. We got this God guy telling us what to do. So Samuel, get us a king so we can be like everybody else. They didn't want to walk the narrow road anymore. Are you with me here? These things are so important. Even though they're subtle, they're so important. Another ritual that we, you know, people go through is people want people to have material blessing. The Bible says in Matthew 6:33, we were just there, the last second to the last verse says, seek first what? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So that's the priority. Seek first the kingdom of God. And then he says what? All these things. Everybody say all these things. What were the things he was talking about? Food. Shelter. Clothing. Will be added to you. But you say, I don't need God to get rich. You don't. But if you want him to be your provider, you got to seek him. If you are your provider, you're on your own. But if you allow him to be your provider, you're never alone. Are you with me here? This is the song that we just said. I'll never leave you nor forsake you if you want to follow me. But if you don't want to follow me, that's the thing about God. You can follow your own road. You can go down the path that you choose to do. If you think your path goes to heaven, follow it. That's what he tells you. He's not going to make you follow his path. He'll tell you, he'll give you the test. He says, I lay before you life and death. That's an A, B, C, A, or B answer. I lay before you life and death, blessing, curses. And then he says, here's the answer. Choose life. But if you don't want to choose life, you can choose death if you want to. But I'm counseling you to choose life. Well, I don't think your way leads to life, then choose death. But it doesn't change that there's still a path that leads to life. Are you with me here? This is what we have to learn, that God's way leads to life, even though the track might look harder. It looks hard sometimes. Lord, I have to act differently. I have to go to church all the time. No, you don't have to go to church all the time. But you know what? If you love God and you love God's people, you would want to be in God's people's presence. Amen. I mean, if you love your family, I mean, really love them. You know how we love our family, but don't want to be with them. Not that kind of love. So yeah, I love my cousin Johnny, but boy, I don't want him coming to my house. Johnny, don't come to my house. Is it, well, we have a Thanksgiving in my house? Is Johnny coming? Is it not that kind of love? But the love that makes you want to be with someone. That's why church exists. No, well, that's one of the reasons, because I don't want to make this a lovey-dovey fest. The other reason is to hold us accountable. Because we have a tendency to drift if we don't spend time in the presence of God's people. God's people are there to hold you accountable, hold you, your lifestyle accountable. You might say, well, how do you know what I'm doing? Well, I don't, to be honest with you, but the Holy Spirit does. And sometimes, let me just share this with you, he tells on you. He tells on you. What do you mean by that, Pastor? That's called the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom, the spirit of discernment and prophecy. He'll tell on you if he wants you to get right. You might say, well, why would God tell on you? Because he wants you to get right. Because he knows that you're leaving the narrow road and you've made a turn to the broad way. And he's trying to get you back on the narrow road. That's what the Holy Spirit's job is. Well, folks at the church is always in my business. You need somebody in your business because you don't know how to handle your business. Matter of fact, you really don't have business to handle if you're God's child. It's his business anyway. But see, he has other agents in his corporation to help you with your business. Huh? So we need each other for that purpose. So Psalms 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the paths of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates both day and night. And because he does that, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. And look at this, what it says. And whatever he does, what does that word say? You guys got it up there? Whatever he does, so what? Say it out loud. See, The doctrine of, you know, what we call prosperity teaching, that wasn't created by the people in the 40s. The Jewish people believed in prosperity. That's why they prosper. You know, some folk get mad at Jewish folk. Many of them just pay tithes and they do what they're supposed to. Now, some of them don't. I ain't going to act like they do. But they don't have any problem with making money. They have no problem. They believe it's a God-given right to make money. And they believe that they should do right with it, but they do believe they should make it. Most of us still scratching our heads whether we should make it or not. I don't know, God, he can give me $10,000 a month or $1,000. I don't know which one I should take. Because if I get $10,000, I may fall off and backslide. Well, you need to fast and pray that you don't backslide and take that $10,000. Month job. Huh? I don't want to use a harsh word, but don't be silly. That's not much of a decision. unless they're asking you to rob banks to get it. Then you don't take it. But if it's just a job where you can be honest and do the things that God has called you to do, take the one that offers you $10,000 a month. You'll be better off, trust me. And the church would be better off because now your tithe is $1,000. He said, I don't give the church giving all that money. Well, then you probably won't have that job long. If you don't see it that God has brought it to you, then you won't have it long. Because every blessing comes with a battle. If you make $10,000 a month, you're going to have $10,000 a month trouble. Because taxes on $10,000 is a lot of money. I didn't know you paid that much taxes. And when you make $10,000 a month, you don't get a refund. You don't get a refund at the end of the tax year unless they take half of it and then they give you the rest of it back. So this is God promised to bless us. So we don't need to go to someone else and ask somebody else to pray that I be blessed outside of what God has already given you permission to do. Blessing is in the plan of God. Financial increase is in God's provision for us. Somebody said Jesus was broke. You guys know the story where Peter came to Jesus and asked him, and Jesus asked him, Do we need to pay taxes? I'm paraphrasing here. And he told Peter, go fishing, Peter. You guys know that story? And he told him the first fish you get out of the water, in that fish's mouth is enough money to not only just pay your taxes, Peter, but to pay mine too. Go do that and pay our taxes. Now, if Jesus could tell Peter where the money was in the fish's mouth, do you think Jesus had any problem getting his needs met ever? He took 7 pieces of bread and 2 fish and fed 5,000 people. And he took 5 loaves and 12 fish or something like that and fed 4,000. Do you think Jesus had a problem having his needs met? Judas was the treasurer of Jesus' ministry. The Bible says he kept the money bag, but he was a thief. So he wasn't a good treasurer. But they had something to put in the bag because Jesus was always sending them off to go buy stuff. When he met the woman at the well, the reason why Jesus was by himself was the disciples went shopping. That's what he went to. They went to. So Jesus, what I'm saying is, I'm not saying Jesus was walking in luxury. What I'm telling you that Jesus' needs were met. That's what provision and prosperity mean. Your needs are met. And your wants will be met as well. If it's consistent with God's will. If you need a car or want a car, you can pray and ask God to get you a car. It's up to you. If you don't have the faith for it, don't do it. But if you believe that God is the source of your provider, let me make it easy for you. If your father had all the money in the world and you needed a car, say, Dad, my car just broke down. Can you buy me another car? I ain't spent all that money on you. Hey, go take that. No, your dad wouldn't say that, would he? If he had the means to do it. Are we talking straight here? Are we acting like we're not somebody from Mars? If your father had the means to buy you a car, he would buy you a car. No questions asked. Oh, sure, baby. What kind of car do you want? We'll go right down there. We'll get it for you. And you'll have a new car, right? Come on, talk to me. Act like you guys would do. Let's say you had the money and your kids asked you to do it. You'd do it, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you, unique? So then why, the Bible says that if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good things to them who ask? That's actually a scripture. So God is better than you. Everybody say, God is better than me. God is nicer than me. So he will do what you ask him if you believe that he did. Now, if you have a problem with that, then you have to work it out until you see him in a way that he will provide for you. But God will provide for you based on your faith. It's just that simple. If you only want bread and water, God will provide bread and water. But if you ask God, Lord, can you provide some meat with that bread and water? He will give you meat. And he said, Lord, would you provide a house so that they could eat the bread, the meat, and the water? He will give you a house. Are you with me here? If you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good things to them that ask? So God is the source of our blessing. We don't have to go through any ritual. We don't have to go through any person other than Jesus Christ to get what God has laid out for us to have. Amen? God is my source. Everybody say it. God is my source. God is my source. Not my job. Say it out loud. Not my job. You might say, well, why isn't the job? The job is a means. Because how many know you can get what? Laid off from your job. Right? How many have been laid off? Been fired, laid off? And if that job was my source, I'm in trouble now. Because now unemployment is my source. And I'm really in trouble. Because they don't pay you the full wage that you were getting. So God has to be your source. He may direct you to these things, but he's still the source. Are you with me? But we have to be in a place where we'll hear him direct us. Oh God, I need a job. He will direct you. He will provide for you. But you have to understand that he is the source. Don't get high and mighty and say, well, I got the best job because of my qualifications. No, God gave it to you. Sometimes in spite of, maybe you're qualified. I don't want to take that away. You went to school, you went all that. But how many know qualifications don't always get you a job? I mean, I remember when I was trying to leave, I worked for myself as a lawyer. I was trying to leave the practice and I applied to like 100 law firms. I could do what they do. I've been doing it for 15 years, so you don't have to supervise me. All you have to do is give me the file. I can do it. And folks wouldn't hire me. Part of it because I wasn't going to take what they were going to pay. I told one guy what I wanted for pay. He said, man, I never paid anybody that much money. I said, oh, I guess I'm in the wrong office. Because I can't live off what you want to pay me. At that time, I had kids and all that. So you can be qualified and not get a job. But God will open a door that was closed to you. He will give you favor when everybody else disfavored you. That's what God does. But you say, God, if this is a job you want, God, I want that job. And I know you can open that door for me. And I'm trusting you. Amen? Next thing, and I'm going to close after this, favor. We just talked about favor. Psalms 5:12. Psalms 5, verse 12 says, for you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. Everybody read this with me. For you, O Lord. Come on, let's all read it. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor will you surround him as with a shield. What's a shield? Huh? A shield was like armor. You know, when, you know, we think of it as a bulletproof vest in a modern day terms. God will surround you with a bulletproof vest called favor, where people can't get at you because God favors you. I'm going to tell the story and then I'm going to close. The story of Balaam. You guys know the story of Balaam? You know who Balaam is? Balaam is when the children of Israel left, and the children of Israel were rebellious people. And they were constantly challenging God. But Balaam was hired by Balak to curse the children of Israel. Again, one of those, Balaam tried to do something outside of the will of God until the donkey straightened him out. A donkey talked to Balaam and straightened him out. So Balaam could only bless the children of Israel. And we get the song, even there's a song now, what God has blessed cannot be cursed. And that's what Balaam did. He blessed the children. Every time he tried, the Balak wanted him to curse him, he blessed him. And Balaam told him, I can't curse what God has blessed. But what happened was Balaam told Balak how to get at the children of Israel. And they sent women into the camp. And they tempted the children of Israel, and they fell. The Bible says about 22,000 died because of what Balaam told Balak to do. So as long as you're in the will of God, the plan of God, God, you cannot be touched. And as long as the enemy knows you're in that will and that surroundings, remember the story of Job. The first thing Job said about it, he says, God says, do you see Job, my servant? He's a righteous man above all. He hates evil. And he says, does Job fear you for nothing? Don't you have a hedge about him? That's the favor, the shield. The devil could not get to Job. Are you hearing me? As long as he stayed righteous, he couldn't be touched. But he went down and he tempted Job. And he touched him, but he couldn't get at Job. Because Job's testimony, I didn't do anything wrong. And Job had not done anything wrong. You know, we always go, Job, man, Job was proud. No, Job did not do anything wrong. He was being tested. Because they accused Job of all sorts of things. But he had not done anything wrong. That's why he said, though God slay me, I'll trust him. Because I have not done anything wrong. So as long as we stay in the avenue of the narrow way, we will have favor like a shield to protect us. And nothing can, by any means, will hurt you. Amen? Let's stand. I'm going to go home. So I hope you're hearing what the Spirit is saying in this message. What he's saying to us is, like we talked about before we did communion, examine your life. See where the enemy may have gotten a hold of you and kept his claws in you. Maybe you got a bad temper or a bad attitude about something, or something springs up when things don't go right. Or maybe you were neglected and you want attention from people you don't need attention from. These are strongholds that the enemy wants, we want to break of the enemy. So this is what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. Just examine yourself.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon. And we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.